Good morning, Calvary. Good to have you with us this morning. My prayer for you is that you would believe that God is in control. He has a plan for your life, our community, our nation, and our world. And for those who love him, it's a good plan. I pray you enjoy our service today.
Let's lift our voices together and sing.
Sing wherever we go because God is good. It's so good to have you with us here at Calvary. You might have just joined us online. We just want to welcome you to our church, and we're so thankful to have you with us this morning. Perhaps it's your first week with us. Welcome to Calvary. Or maybe you've been with us for a few weeks online. We just want to help you get connected and engage here with us as a church. You might be asking the question, what does it mean to get connected? Well, what that means is simply to help you get to know other people and build relationships with people in our church. One of the ways you do that is by going to our digital bulletin. Check out that bulletin at calvarywestlake.org/bulletin. Once you get in there, you'll find some great next steps that will help you get connected. First one is the Connect With Us button. You can go there if you want to just get some basic information about our church and ways to get connected here. We'll send you an email that'll welcome you to Calvary and then give you some good kind of next steps in that email. Then also, you have the teaching notes. Great way to learn with us here at Calvary. Pastor Sean, our pastor, teaches every week, and he always has a teaching note to go along with the teaching. You can follow along, take notes, and then maybe later in the week, you can revisit those notes you took from Sunday. Just a great way to grow in your faith with us, the teaching notes. And then also, you can give here at Calvary. I want to invite you to give. There's a few different ways you can do that. You can go online, you can text, you can go to the app, or you can mail in an envelope to our address. Now, for those of you who have been giving faithfully to our church, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity, for your faithfulness. I believe that God uses his people to bless other people. And one of the ways you do that is by giving to our church and supporting the mission and vision of our church. And so thank you for being a partner with us in the gospel. Now, let me share with you a few ways for you to get connected over the next month here. The first one is our Women's Connect. If you're a lady who's looking to get to know some other ladies, join us for our Women's Connect. It starts this Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. We're going through the book of Colossians, and it's a great time. A little bit of teaching up front, maybe 30 minutes of teaching, and then about 45 minutes or so of discussion about how to apply the scriptures to your life. Join us for that. You can register on the link below. And then you have our Men's Connect, the same kind of idea. If you're a guy who's trying to develop some friendships with other men in our community, go to the Men's Connect. That's the best way to do it. We have a Wednesday option and a Saturday morning option. Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., then Saturday at 7:30 a.m. We're going through the book of Acts. We get to see how God expanded and spread his gospel throughout the world through that book. Join us. Same idea as the ladies. 30 minutes teaching, 45 minutes discussion. Great time. Now, this weekend, we started our new sermon series, Hope for the Heavy Heart. We wanted to bring to you not only a great sermon series and teaching for you to encourage your life and your heart, but some resources to support you that might be more specific to your needs. So we have a landing page for you, calvarywestlake.org/hope. On that page, you'll find important scriptures that will encourage you, some good resources, classes, support group. And then we also have a resource we're doing on Sunday afternoons from 4 to 5 p.m. It's a drop-in prayer time. We're going to have a pastor hosting that every single week throughout our sermon series. This week, I have the privilege of hosting that alongside Pastor Carolyn Takeda. And so join us. Join me tonight for our drop-in prayer. If something touches your heart from the sermon today, or maybe there's just something going on in your life where you want prayer, whatever it is, if you want to connect, pray, and be encouraged, join us today from 4 to 5 p.m. Just show up. The link is below. Great resources for you. So I'm excited about this sermon series. I pray today as you hear the message, you're encouraged. I want to pray for us as we continue in worship. If you would bow your head with me as we pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness that we just sang about. May we sing your praises wherever we go because we know that you are good. We know you're good, not just because your word says you are good, but because we have a roof over our heads, food on our table. Lord, in the specifically here in the Kaneo Valley, you can't go hungry. There's a meal every single night, Lord, and I believe it's because of your goodness that your churches throughout this entire community provide a meal for people. Lord, there are so many ways you've shown us that you are good in our lives. So Lord, help us to lift up our eyes and see your goodness everywhere we look. Even when there's hard things, help us to see those hard things, but help us to see above and beyond that you are good, that your goodness has a pervasive impact in our lives and a restorative impact on our lives. Through your son, Jesus, you offered us the gospel and forgiveness of sins and salvation. We want to receive that today and walk in that. We pray for our time together that you'd help us, lead us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How great the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. As the work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my Lord. And
sing a new song today. It's called There's Another in the Fire. It gets its title from the story in the Old Testament about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to bow to the king that was in power at that time because they would only bow for the one true God. So the king threw them in the fire. Three men went in, but when they looked in, they saw a fourth man standing with them. They were not alone. God was watching over them, protecting them. They came out of that fire untouched, safe, and sound. It's just a reminder that whatever you're going through today, you're not alone. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you.
Reckoning
Thank you that we're never alone, that you're always with us, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. God, we thank you for Jesus, who came to this earth, knew no sin, died on that cross for our sins. Now he is the way, the truth, and the life to get to you, Father. God, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Recently, I've had the opportunity to sit down with some folks who provide counseling to others and to talk to them about some of the emotional things we go through in life, and especially those things that have been amplified during our battle with the coronavirus. I sat down with them and chatted about the topic of loneliness.
Kaiser or Cigna said that 61% of Americans today are suffering from loneliness. The last 10 years, our nation has had an epidemic of it. During these times, when we're isolated, really we have lost. We've lost our freedom to go where we want to go and do the things that we want to do. Our paradigm for life has been shattered. We feel oppressed. We can't see our family members when people are ill. We can't go to the hospital. So people are feeling more and more lonely.
I'd probably make a distinction between being alone and feeling lonely. Like, an introvert especially craves being alone. An extrovert doesn't really need as much time alone. People spend so much time chatting and talking with people, and yet the epidemic of loneliness, there was plenty of research and articles about that prior to COVID.
The whole loneliness component, as it pertains to God, is not uncommon for that to be very, very complicated, because many people even blame God for that. You took my husband, or you took this, or you caused this, or you're not bringing somebody to my door. And so we can complicate things for ourselves. God loves you, and He really, really does want to be in a relationship with you. I understand that that experience is going to be a little bit different than the warm arms of an embrace, the comforting words of somebody that's eyeball to eyeball. But in Scripture, there's story after story of Him bringing comfort to the widow, to the poor, to the weak, to the one in jail. And that's the same God that we serve today. God will absolutely meet us in that place.
People don't have the resources or the abilities to tap into the things they could before. So even as a therapist, it's trying to get creative and help people figure out ways to pull in their support system.
We also teach people how to go to God's Word and memorize it, and then even journal about it. Like Psalm 46:1, God is my refuge and my strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. So we'll teach them to pray through the definition of that scripture.
You have to decide to do something that's different, that whatever it is that you're continuing to do now is contributing to the loneliness. Are you going to decide to do something different? Because if you're able to make that decision, then that opens up a lot of different doors, a lot of different possibilities. I can pick up a phone and call somebody, even though the last number of months I've been waiting for somebody to call me and getting more angry because they're not calling me. Now I can instead do something different. I can make a call and just hear a voice. I can do something different. I can go for a walk. It's that, what I call like a half step before the one thing, I'm going to decide to do something different.
A lot of times a person beset with loneliness does not reach out. They are waiting for people to reach out to them. And I think that's a mistake. If you feel lonely, take Dr. Rick's advice. Reach out to people. They'll probably respond. You could sit there and nurse, and the loneliness can then end up moving in the direction of bitterness, even feeling like a victim and nobody cares about you, which is probably not true. I don't know the person's story.
When somebody really wants help with their loneliness and they speak up, we create a portfolio for them, so to speak, of venues to be involved in. And the first and the most important is connection with other people. Whether it's in a small group or just a couple of friends that they can call, we make sure that they have some sort of connection with people so that that they can have a relationship. You know, we're created to know and be known.
Try maybe if there's time, you know, create the drive-by situation, you know, where you can see them in person, because there really is something about seeing somebody in person. My mom and I actually would meet like halfway between here and Pasadena and sit in the parking lot and have lunch.
Using technology for this epidemic of loneliness is a smart, proactive thing to do. And again, I'm always encouraging people to reach out And that's counterinstinctive. It sure makes it clear that man was not made to be alone.
Well, good morning. I'm glad you've joined us for the 11 o'clock service online at Calvary. And I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel 22, you can go there on your mobile device, use a Bible app, and we'll be looking into the scriptures today as we launch our six-week series titled Hope for the Heavy Heart. And we'll be looking at topics over the next 5 weeks that include anxiety and discouragement. We'll be talking about anger, we'll talk about fear, and then we're gonna look at grief. And today we begin with the topic of loneliness, and I think that Rick and Bert and Debbie and Steve helped us get started, get our minds thinking about this thing of loneliness. And over the last 6 or 7 months, some folks have experienced loneliness that probably hadn't experienced it before. I know in my own life, even though I'm surrounded by great family and friends, there have been little periods where I have struggled with some loneliness because I'm not able to be with my extended family, not able to be with our kids who live in other places. You can't really just travel there easily, can't be with staff. And so even though Zoom can provide some things, it's just been this sense at times of just feeling lonely and distant. I miss being with our church family in the lobby and just talking with people and praying with people on a regular basis. And so I think we all know a little bit about loneliness, but you may be dealing with it right now in your own life, or maybe you've had some waves of it. And I want to speak to you today as we talk about when you feel forgotten, hope for the lonely heart. Maybe you say, well, I'm not lonely right now, and I don't really battle loneliness all that much. Then God would have you to engage in the lives of others to help them in those seasons of loneliness and be present for them. We'll talk about both those who grapple with loneliness and then those who can be there and be a resource for others during seasons of loneliness. Now, I don't want to confuse, as we talk about being alone or loneliness, the difference between solitude and loneliness. Do not confuse solitude and loneliness. One builds you up. Solitude can be a healthy spiritual habit or discipline where you spend time with God in prayer and in His Word, where you just are being still and knowing that God is God. That can be healthy. But loneliness can break us down. It can make us feel left out, cut off, unimportant. And so it's important for us to understand that there's something healthy about solitude, but there is something that harms us in loneliness. The 16th Surgeon General of the United States, Vivek Murthy, looked during his time as Surgeon General at what was the upcoming crisis health-wise in the United States. He thought it was going to be the opioid crisis that he would see. But instead, what he saw into this next decade was the idea of loneliness, people suffering greatly and what it was doing to damage folks. And so he wrote a book called Together, The Healing Power of Human Connection in a Sometimes Lonely World. And in this, he says this about loneliness. It is somewhat the description or the definition of loneliness. Loneliness is the subjective feeling that you're lacking the social connections you need. It can feel like being stranded, abandoned, or cut off from the people with whom you belong, even if you're surrounded by other people. What's missing when you're lonely is the feeling of closeness, trust, and the affection of genuine friends, loved ones, and community. Maybe that's how you feel today. Maybe you've gone through some seasons of that. And I wanna talk directly to this subject of loneliness. And I hope at the end of this message, you'll have opportunity and some footing in terms of seizing resources and dealing with the loneliness you're facing. I came across several surprising things about loneliness as I was preparing for this message at the start of this new series. And I just want to share with you 10 surprising things about loneliness. Maybe it'll help us understand loneliness in our society today. Number one, chronic loneliness negatively affects your health to the same degree as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That's incredible. Secondly, the overuse or addiction to social media cultivates life-paralyzing loneliness. Social media can be a good thing, but people who are really engaged with it can feel left out at times, and they can suffer from life-paralyzing loneliness, even though they're almost addicted to social media. Maybe you saw the Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma, that talks about some of the weaknesses of social media. You ought to check that out. I watched that this week. It was very eye-opening. Number three, single males in their teens and 20s tend to have the highest rates of loneliness in society. Hear that again. Single males in their teens and 20s have the highest rates in our society of loneliness. That one surprised me. Research suggests, number four, that 14 to 20% of adults who experience chronic loneliness inherited it genetically. And they say there are ongoing studies that may link this to even a larger number of folks. Number five, loneliness runs high among married people, with up to 60% of married Americans saying they are always or often lonely. You can be lonely in a healthy, vibrant marriage. You can be lonely in a crowd. But notice that 60% of people in marriages say they are lonely. Number six, loneliness will make you more likely to become physically ill. Self-imposed isolation can lead to sickness. You are likely to suffer from depression, cardiovascular disease, high stress levels, poor memory, antisocial behavior, and those are just to name a few. You could also exacerbate the progression of certain diseases like Alzheimer's. Number seven, just like you are 52% more likely to get the common cold if you hang out around with people with a common cold, you are 52% more likely to become lonely if you hang around lonely people. I mean, lonely people can tend to pull us into that same feeling of loneliness. But God wants us to be equipped on sure footing that we can then reach into their lives and help them. Number eight, for the first time since surveys on this topic began decades ago, the elderly generation is not the loneliest age group in America today. It's always been widows and widowers in the older generation, but that's not true today. The youngest American adults in the millennials and Gen Z generations are now the loneliest age group in America. Something's happening here with all their connectedness and all the technology. The younger adults in America are now the loneliest. Substance abuse and alcoholism have direct links to loneliness. Most of us realize that, but it's important to note that. And then number 10, the 10th surprising thing I came across was that in 2018, the British government added a Department of Loneliness to its government, including an appointment of a cabinet-level minister of loneliness. Now, these are just some things that just caught my attention. Perhaps none of those things surprise you because you know a loved one who struggles with loneliness. Perhaps you've wrestled with loneliness. You know, doctors tell us there are a few things we can do for self-care that are just common sense when it comes to our mental well-being, even when dealing with loneliness, that we need to get regular exercise. We need to get out and get some warm sunshine. We need to have a healthy diet. We need to get quality sleep. Those are some factors that can affect our sense of loneliness. Now, I mentioned that we're going to be providing you resources over these 6 weeks. We're going to provide you resources to help you if your heart is heavy emotionally in one of these areas or even beyond one of these areas that we'll be looking at. And so you can go to calvarywestlake.org/hope. I loved having the counselors that helped us kick off this message. We partner with a number of Christian counselors in our area. These are just a few of those. You saw Pastor Steve Day, our care pastor. Our care team is ready to come alongside you. You can go to calvarywestlake.org/hope and find some of those resources. And I also know with loneliness or any one of the topics we'll be dealing with in these 6 weeks, that some folks deal with these things at a chronic level. It's not just life circumstances. And we encourage you to reach out to our care ministry. You can receive some pastoral care and counseling, and then they can help make a referral to a number of Christian therapists. These just represented a few of the Christian therapists we partner with, so you can get further help. Then I just want to remind you of what Pastor Jeremy said, that he'll be available on Zoom this afternoon at 4 o'clock. He and Pastor Carolyn, our small groups pastor, and you can come there to pray. You can express that you'd like to be connected with someone. Maybe you have a heart for lonely people. You want to come and pray with them. That's from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock today. And you can find that Zoom link at calvarywestlake.org/hope. Now, as we talk about what do we do when we feel forgotten, we talk about hope for the lonely heart. I want us to understand this. When you feel forgotten, Do what no lonely person wants to do. This goes against everything you want to do when you're isolated and lonely. Take small but intentional steps to get beyond yourself. I'm going to encourage you just to take little steps, baby steps in the right direction, and I believe God will meet you in that moment you take that little step. One of the great characters of Scripture, David, long before he was king, he had defeated Goliath. He was now the son-in-law to King Saul. He was a great warrior who would go out in battle and lead the troops of Israel in battle against their enemies. And he'd come back and they'd hail him as the hero. He was popular, and the young women were now singing songs about David, and they'd all but forgotten King Saul. And Saul sees all this and he gets very jealous and tries to kill David. And David has to run. To get away from Saul, he runs to his own wife. David runs to his wife, and Saul pursues him there. He goes to his best friend, Saul's son, Jonathan, and Saul pursues him there. He goes to the priest. He goes to the prophet Samuel, and Saul keeps chasing him to the point he has to leave the nation of Israel. He's on the run. Now, he's been anointed by Samuel to be the next king, to follow after Saul, and he's on the run from his own territory, his own land. And he, in desperation, seeking to find some help somewhere, runs to the Philistines, the enemies of Israel, whom he gave them one of the greatest defeats they've ever experienced when he defeated Goliath. He runs to the Philistines, to the city of Gath, and then he begins to realize that maybe isn't the smartest thing to do, and he drools in his beard like he's crazy, so they won't really believe that he is David, and they throw him out of the city. And we read in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1 this statement: David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So he leaves humiliated. He can't even run to his enemies, and he ends up alone in a cold, dark cave. Now, don't picture, when you think of the cave of Adullam, don't picture kind of Yogi Bear's little carved out notch in the rock. This is a deep, cavernous area. Spelunkers can spend hours inside the cave of Adullam, and this would become David's home. Scholars believe for 3 to 6 months. And here he writes a number of psalms. Three of those psalms, I think, help us understand how David processed the heaviness of his heart when he was alone in the cave of Adullam. He's isolated. Here he is. He's supposed to be the next king. It looked like everything was working out. He had that great victory. He's leading the over Goliath. He had that great victory. He's leading the nation of Israel in battles where they're having incredible victories. He's living in the palace. He's married to the king's daughter. It looks like God's plan is working out. And now he's been on the run. Now he's alone in a cold, dark cave. And I think David helps us understand how we process our loneliness before God and ultimately with others. Now we're going to talk about three things from three different psalms here that I think help us deal with our loneliness. And if you've been around Calvary for a while, this is a message, or the basic content of this message, I love to communicate from time to time to help us process our emotions when we're struggling in life. And so as I talk about this outline for the topic of loneliness, I want you to know there's a pattern here with these three points and these three psalms that I think apply to all the other weeks. We'll have a different outline each week, but if you are processing any of those things, you can go back and use these same three points to help you, no matter what your emotions are, as you process them before the Lord. So what are we going to do when we feel forgotten? What's the first thing you do? Number one, when you're all alone, you're isolated, you're lonely, you feel forgotten, you tell God how you feel. You tell God how you feel. Look at Psalm 142 if you want. Just turn over to Psalm 142 in your Bible. Go there on that mobile app you might have on your smartphone or iPad. Psalm 142, we believe, is the first psalm that David wrote in the cave of Adullam. He's all alone. He's been drooling in his beard before his enemies. It doesn't look like God's plan is working out for him to be Saul's successor, and he pours his heart out to the Lord. In verse 1, he says, I cry out. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him, I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. And drop down to verse 4 and look what he says. He says in verse 4, look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. Do you feel that way today? Do you know someone who feels that way today? David says to God, no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. This is serious loneliness. Maybe you're feeling this in your life. You feel like no one cares for you. Express that to the Lord. In verse 6, he says, for I am in desperate need. Maybe you feel desperate today. Verse 7, set me free from my prison that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. He said, this is a prison. This cold, dark cave, this lonely place is a prison. Maybe you've felt like you've been in a prison emotionally. Maybe there have been times when you've been dealing with the isolation. You're not able to get out as much because you're at high risk for COVID-19. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe there's been some other economic impact on your family. Maybe all the noise of the polarization in our world and all of the political noise that's ratcheting up has just left you wanting to crawl back into a cocoon and push the world out, and you find yourself at this place where you're lonely. Tell God how you feel. Communicate it to him. Pour out your heart to him. When you do that, you do two things. First of all, you verbalize what you feel deeply. You let it out. You tell God, this stinks. I don't like this. I'm lonely. Doesn't anybody care for me? Pour it out before the Lord. That's the starting place. Over these last several months, though, I'm surrounded by a lot of great people, and I have a wonderful wife, and at times when I felt lonely, I've said, let's just go for a walk. There are also times you just go through these seasons. I've wakened up in the middle of the night a couple of times, and I've missed my kids. Our two oldest are in Chicago and New York, and I can't go visit them as easily as I might like if I needed to, or if something happened. And then I haven't been able to be with our staff, and haven't been able to be with our body as much as I'm used to. And so there have been little pockets where I've had some loneliness. Maybe you felt that way too. Verbalize to God what you're feeling. Just cry out to him. Secondly, then, realize he knows how you feel personally. He knows what loneliness feels like. He knows what it feels like to experience this idea that no one cares for you, no one cares about your life, like David poured out before the Lord in his cry. As a matter of fact, God the Son left heaven's glory and walked among us. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus, God the Son, understands the trials and the temptation, the ups and downs of life. He understands. He went through all that, but he didn't sin. And we now have this high priest before the Father who is pleading in our behalf in the issues of our life because he gets it. Our God gets it. Then Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, and Isaiah in his prophecy centuries before described how the Messiah, God the Son, hanging on the cross would be cut off from humanity itself. Isaiah 53:3 from the New Living Translation, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. God the Son was cut off from humanity. As we turned our back on him, he suffered that isolation on the cross. But further, on the cross, darkness came and the earth quaked as he was hanging there. And Jesus cried out, according to Mark 15:34, my God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father and God the Holy Spirit had turned their backs on God the Son as he took upon him, the innocent one, the punishment you and I deserve. And he feels that isolation from God and from others. As a matter of fact, we often think of hell as a place of eternal torment and flames, and that's the biblical description. But the Bible also describes hell and perhaps the greatest torture of a Christless eternity and the punishment of hell forever for those who do not turn to Jesus is the isolation they experience. They're cut off from anyone else. They're cut off from God himself. Perhaps the most horrifying, troubling aspect when you consider eternity in hell is the isolation and the loneliness. And Jesus, when he died on the cross for you and for me, he took upon himself there my hell and your hell as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He experienced that isolation that I deserve, the punishment that should be mine. And he took the punishment that you deserve in that isolation from God and from humanity on the cross. But God wants each one of us to know his love and to be in a loving relationship with him, a love that he gives us as we come to faith in Christ, a love that can never be broken now or in all of eternity, according to Romans 8. And the way to know that you won't be cut off from God for all eternity is to admit before God that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You deserve punishment, but then you place your trust and faith in Christ and what he did for you on the cross. You trust in Jesus and he forgives you of your sin, not because of anything you do or who you are, but all because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. As you pray and you put your faith in Jesus and what he did for you on the cross, God removes that condemnation, that eternal punishment, and he gives you life today in him. Put your faith in Jesus. Jesus took that ultimate isolation of punishment so that you and I wouldn't have to. If today's the day you put your faith in Jesus or you've done that recently, we want to celebrate with you. You can text the name Jesus. Just text the word, the name Jesus in the body of a text to the number on the screen below me. And we'll celebrate with you what God's doing in your life. We'll celebrate that you're now in his family, that you're now experiencing a love that can never be broken, and that you will know his presence now and throughout all eternity because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Just text the name Jesus to that number and we'll follow up with you. Child of God, if you're going through a season of loneliness, tell God how you feel. Verbalize it deeply. Realize that he knows personally how you feel. Your God gets it. And so you can cry out to him, letting your raw emotions come before him. Some people have said to me, well, I just could never talk to God that way. I could just never speak like that. I just think it would be inappropriate. No, one of the reasons we have the Psalms in the scriptures to help us understand that God wants to hear the cry of our heart. He wants to meet us in that moment. The psalmist moves beyond telling God how he feels to taking a step outside of himself. And he begins to look to God and to worship him. The second thing you do after you've told God how you felt, you then praise God for who he is. Right from that cave of loneliness, David cries out, and now he praises God. He worships God. If you look now at Psalm 57, if you want to turn there again in your Bibles or on your Bible app, Psalm 57. I want to read this from the New Living Translation. And you can go back and read the whole psalm. We begin in verse 2. David here, it says in his expression from this cold, dark cave, it says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. My God will send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness. Notice his love never fails. He is faithful. Drop down to verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. He's beginning to praise God in the midst of his loneliness and his heart's cry. Verse 7. My heart is confident in you, O God. I put my hope and confidence in you. My heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praises. And then verse 8, wake up my heart, wake up, O lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, among all the people, and I will sing your praises among the nations. What people? What nations? You're alone in a cave, David. But there's hope. He's got his confidence in his God. He's praising him. He's anticipating how he's going to keep lifting up the Lord in praise from the cave or when he's out of the cave. For your unfailing love is as high as the heaven. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your love and your faithfulness, David says, is beyond what I can imagine. And then he repeats what he said in verse 5. Be exalted, be lifted up, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. It's so important to tell God how you feel. But then it's very important to do what David did in this second psalm he wrote in the cave of Adullam, and to intentionally choose to take the steps, the baby steps forward to praise God for who he is. You see, when you feel like nothing will ever be the same, remember he never changes. My life goes like this. The last 6 or 7 months, even news from this week, has just created chaos in our world. Our lives go like this, but our God never changes. The writer of the Hebrews says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. We'll wake up on November 4th, no matter who was elected or who is president, who controls the Senate, who controls the Congress. We'll wake up on November 4th after Election Day, and our God will still be God. He will still be squarely on the throne. The circumstances of this world affect us, but our God never changes. We need to understand that and praise him for that. And then praise God for who he is when you feel like no one will ever be there for you. David said, you know, no one cares for my life. No one takes notice of me, he cried out in Psalm 142. But now he says, you're faithful, God. Your faithfulness lasts forever. Your love is everlasting. When you feel like no one will ever be there for you, remember, he never leaves you. Romans 8 said you can never be separated from the loving relationship that God has with you through Jesus Christ if you're a follower of his. The psalmist was so sure of this that in Psalm 27:10, he says this extreme statement, even if my father and my mother forsake me, who has a father or mother who's going to forsake them? Well, even if that happens, he says, the Lord will receive me. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. When you lean into God, you press into him, even in your heartache, even in your pain, even in your isolation and loneliness, God will meet you in that moment. I'll say to folks, you know, well, have you been reading your Bible? I say, no, I just haven't felt like it. Well, have you been talking to God in prayer? No, I haven't felt like it. Have you been joining us either on the campus or online in worship? No, I just haven't felt like it. You got to draw near to God if you want God to meet you in that moment. It's not easy. It's not easy to get beyond yourself, to get beyond the cave you're trapped in. But you got to know that he's with you. He wants to meet you in that moment. He will never leave you. As the nation of Israel was on the brink of walking into the promised land, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, after they left Egypt, God says to Joshua words we need to hear today and are true for us today as well. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Jesus says he sent the disciples out into the world to take the good news of Christ to all the nations. He said to them, be sure of this, I am with you always. My friend, there is nowhere you can go, not the coldest dark cave, not the highest mountaintop. There's no place you can go where God is not with you, even in your loneliness. Max Lucado has a little quote that kind of summarizes this. It's simple, but it's profound. It comes from a new book he's written called You're Never Alone, Trust in the Miracle of God's Presence and Power. He wrote it in this season of COVID, so it deals with masks and social distancing and the isolation we experience. He deals with the loneliness. This resource is available on calvarywestlake.org/hope. You can look there to get the reference to go buy that. You can listen to it on Audible. I did that this week. It takes about 3 hours if you listen to it at the normal speed. I sped it up a little, got it done a little quicker. But listen to what he says. You're stronger than you think because God is nearer than you know. You're stronger than you think because God is nearer than you know. That is so true. As you tell God how you feel in your loneliness, your isolation, like no one cares for you, then you intentionally step out of what's comfortable. It's counterintuitive. And you praise God for who he is. Scholars tell us that this is where we needed to go back to 1 Samuel 22 and pick up, because they believe that the first verse of 1 Samuel 22 is split in half. And in between there is a period of about 3 or 4 months. And so now they believe those first two psalms were written then, but then they believe this happened before the third psalm we want to look at. Verse 1, the second half, 1 Samuel 22. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, that David was in the cave of Adullam, they went down to him there. That's great to have your family come around you. They come down, they join him after so many months in the cave. That's got to be encouraging. And then it says, all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. That means there were 400 families. So it could be many more people than this with wives and their children. They have left Israel. They've come into this no man's land, and they're in this cave setting with him. They join him there. Now, it's great to have his family come. That's the silver lining here. But you know, when you're alone and you feel like nobody cares, the last type of people you want to show up are a bunch of losers. And that's who shows up. Look, it says, those who were in distress, in debt, and discontented, they gathered around him. He became their leader. He's still probably struggling to see how this is going to help him become the king of all Israel. They're now in a place of escape with him. But I think there's something beautiful here that's really important. God brings some people to him, and then it's David's choice to engage others. You see, you tell God how you feel, praise God for who he is, and then you serve God by engaging others. You get out of your comfort zone and you reach out to them. Jesus said in the upper room to his disciples, you know how people are going to really know you're my followers? You know the mark they're going to notice? You know what's going to be remarkable about you guys? It's going to be that they're going to see you have a love for each other. Why would that be so unique? Well, when you study the 12 disciples, you find out they came from radically different political perspectives in first century Israel. They had experiences in life and practiced professions that were at odds with one another. This group, there would be no way they should get along, but it would be the love of God that would allow them to serve God by engaging one another. And that should be true of the church today. That should be true of our lives, that as we pour our hearts out to God and we praise him for who he is, then we've got to be willing to serve him by getting outside of ourselves and our comfort zone and engaging with others. Psalm 34 is what is believed to be the final of the three psalms that David writes at the cave of Adullam. Now he has been joined by these others after months alone, expressing himself in Psalm 142, Psalm 57. And in Psalm 34, when you read the whole thing, and I want to encourage you to read the whole thing later today, you can pray each of these psalms back to the Lord when you are in loneliness or you're going through a heavy-hearted time emotionally. But in Psalm 34, you'll hear him still talking to God like he does in Psalm 142 and Psalm 57. But then you'll hear him also talking to these people who've gathered. And in the heart of this psalm, we read in verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. He didn't take refuge in the cave. He took refuge in his God. And he now says to these folks, taste and see the Lord is good. You know, he was praising God before there was any solution to his problem. And now that he can share with others, he's saying, taste and see the Lord is good. Serve God by engaging others and letting them know that even in your darkest hour, God was good to you. You see, God may not bring you the people you want, but he will bring you the people you need. You might say, well, I need this type of person or that type of person. If only he would speak into my life, she would speak into my life. God may not bring you the people you want. God didn't bring Saul there apologizing to David for throwing spears at his head. But God brought him some of his family and then a whole bunch of losers. They weren't the people David would have wanted, but they were the people God knew he needed. Maybe you're not a lonely person. Can I encourage you to reach out to someone? Be that person in someone else's life that they need. And maybe God is going to prompt you this week. Maybe it's someone you don't even know they're dealing with loneliness. Maybe there's someone you haven't had a connection with that you normally see at church or in a ministry or in a small group, or maybe it's a coworker you haven't seen in a while face-to-face. You've seen them on Zoom. Find 3 to 5 people and just reach out to them. Say, hey, how you doing? Text them, call them, email them. Say, how are you doing right now? Can we chat? Can we FaceTime? You say, well, I'm not in a season of loneliness. Then be proactive and be the people others need. Serve God by engaging others proactively to help them in their time of need and their isolation and loneliness. God may not bring you the people you want, but he will bring you the people you need. Secondly, God may not use you the way you expected, but he will use you the way others needed. David maybe never expected all the people in distress and debt and discouraged to show up at the mouth of his cave. But God knew he needed them. Maybe you are the one in loneliness right now. Maybe you've gone through a season. Maybe you're right in the middle of it. You feel like you're right there at Psalm 142 with David. You haven't even gotten to Psalm 57 yet to praise him. You're just crying out to God. I want to ask you to do something you do not want to do, something that is so counterintuitive. David had to step out of the cave and engage these people. Just find three people you could text or call or email and just say, hey, I could talk to someone right now. I'd love to talk to you. Reach out to just three people. If right now you're in a stage of loneliness, just get out of that cocoon you're in. Tell God how you feel. Praise God for who he is. And then begin to reach beyond yourself. God will bring you the people you need. Maybe not the people you wanted. God will meet your needs. Maybe not in the way you expected. Allow God to work in your life as you serve God by engaging others. Tell God how you feel. Praise God for who he is. Then serve God by engaging others. Back in May, Tony Williams, who is a citizen in Great Britain, experienced the death of his wife. 75-year-old man. In May, his wife was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and she died 6 days later. Tony didn't have a lot of friends or close family outside of his wife, and he found himself at a loss as she passed within less than a week. So in his desperation and his loneliness, he made some business cards and he put out a newspaper ad and he put a thing in the window, a sign in the window of his house right there off the sidewalk. As people passed by, they would clearly see this message. It was the same message, whether it was on the business card he handed a stranger or it was a newspaper ad he put in the newspaper or that which was there on the window. And here's the message that Tony shared. I have lost Joe, my lovely wife and soulmate. I have no friends or family, no one to talk to. I find the unremitting silence 24 hours a day to be unbearable torture. Can no one help me? Wow, that's the cry of loneliness. Very few people who are lonely would be that bold to make a business card, to take out a newspaper ad, or to put that somewhere prominent that others would see as they pass by their home. There's a cry for help. Well, the nation of Britain, the continent of Europe, and the world responded. Tony received cards from every continent except for Antarctica, and maybe they're still in a slow boat from Antarctica. But he received cards of encouragement. People sent them. He was able to feel the love of others. People began to call him from Europe and talk to him and just talk about life and say encouraging words to him. Maybe you're at that place where you feel like Tony felt, and you feel like what he said about, I find the unremitting silence 24 hours a day to be unbearable torture. Maybe that's true for you. Maybe you're saying, can no one help me? I want you to know we're here to help you. You can call our care office this week. You can send an email to info@calvarywestlake.org. We'll follow up with that. You can call our minister on call. Call our main number. We have a minister on call 24/7. We are here for you. Got that resource page at calvarywestlake.org/hope. We're here for you. We want to help you. Take a step outside yourself. Reach out to us. Reach out to three people in some form of communication. Just say, I could talk to someone right now. Again, maybe you've gone through seasons of loneliness. You're not in one right now. God may want you to be the person who shows up at the mouth of someone else's lonely cave. Text, call, email 3 to 5 friends today, this week, and just say, hey, how you doing? Whether you know they're lonely or not, just say, hey, how you doing? Could we chat? Can I help you with anything? Let's not let there be a Tony Williams struggling like that in our church body. Hearts are heavy right now with all we've been going through. Just normal life really can be heavy. But you add the layer of all these last 6 or 7 months, the layer of the political noise, life can be overwhelming. Tell God how you feel. Praise God for who He is. And serve God by engaging others. Are you taking steps to get beyond yourself? If you're in that moment of loneliness, are you taking steps to help others get beyond themselves? Scott's going to sing a great version of Psalm 142. Maybe your heart is right there, and that's your heart's cry. Even listen for the hint of hope that David had in his cry as Scott sings.
Cry aloud to the Lord, I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy, pour out before Him my complaint, before Him I tell my
Father, I pray right now for someone who is overwhelmed with loneliness that's listening, watching in. May you meet them in this moment. May they cry out from their heart to you. May they then turn that corner and intentionally worship you. And then may they be willing to engage others. And I pray you'd bring people into their lives right now. Father, for those who maybe aren't going through a season of loneliness, may they be proactive in reaching out to people, people that maybe they know get lonely or are lonely, maybe people they know, but they don't even know if they're lonely. May we just be willing to roll up our sleeves and get outside our own comfort zones and engage with others. Thank you, Father, that your promises, you are with us no matter what, even in our loneliness and the heaviness of our hearts, you are with us. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As Pastor Jeremy mentioned a few moments ago, as you give to Calvary, you invest in ministries around the world in our community. And as you give, you even support the ministries of our care ministries and ministries that will be ready to come alongside folks with heavy hearts. Thank you for giving to God's work here at Calvary. We're going to conclude by singing a song that just, I think, has the cry of our hearts. No matter why your heart is heavy, maybe it's because of loneliness, maybe it's one of those other things we'll tackle as we move into the next 5 weeks. But let's sing to the Lord and just remind ourselves as we cry out to Him, Lord, I need You, that we need our God.
Take courage and remember this week, as you go about your business, the Lord is with you. You are not alone. We love you so much, Calvary. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and we'll see you all next time.